for just the marvelous way you are dealing with our hearts right now. And that the scriptures are being broken open to those who are breaking open. And Lord, we ask that you would just take tonight and use it in our hearts in the way you need it, the way we need it, the way you need it. And that the Spirit of God would be the beautiful dove that lands on the waters and just brings forth Jesus. Lord, we came, people are up late in foreign lands because they're not here to listen to a class. They're certainly not here to listen to rules out of Leviticus. They are hungry, and the only one who can deal and feed and give is you, Lord. Only you, Lord. So we give this time to you, and we just press our hearts deep into your bosom, Jesus. And we want to listen, receive. So guide us tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I felt like we were on a certain course in our first class, but the Spirit of God just really fell on a certain area, and it is in chapter 1. But I, you know, personally, the book of Leviticus is where I am deeply, just so deeply wanting personally to get the Lord out of this book. And Leviticus has always been very special to my heart, and just because I see so much of the sacrifice there laid open. And that's the lamb, that's the groom we love. I mean, he's the one who, you know, the disciples were told by John the Baptist, behold the lamb. And, you know, just, oh, you see your groom for who he is. And he's a lamb, he's a sacrifice. Something in you is captivated and willing to leave even good teaching, John the Baptist, and God-ordained ministry, John the Baptist, to separate everything unto him, the Lamb. And so that's what this book can be, a beholding of the Lamb, but not just ethereally or spiritually, but in ways that he's needing, his wife, his church, his body, and the oneness he desires. So tonight, I think, is very, very practical, but very, very personal, very practical, but very precious to the Lord. And it can be just the principles that are laid forth in the scriptures in Leviticus that we're going to look at. They're game-changer scriptures for someone who's just desperate for the Lord. And I it's right where I'm at personally, so I'm just thankful for the communion and fellowship together. So where we're going to be looking at is in chapter 1 of Leviticus, and I'm just going to read the two scriptures that pertain to where we're at. The name of this class is Dividing the Sacrifice in Us. Dividing the Sacrifice in Us. And the scriptures are Leviticus chapter 1, verse 6, and also verse 12. And I'm just going to read them quickly, and then we'll refer back to them. But Leviticus 1, 6 says, "And he shall flay the burnt offering." That flay just means cut up into pieces. "And cut it into his pieces." And then Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "And he shall cut it into his pieces, with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar." Let it be, Lord, let it be. Okay, so we're just going to lay a few basic principles that can lead our hearts to the New Testament view of these things that are for us. So we are in a new covenant. We are, because why? Thank you. Yeah. He died. He didn't die in the book of Leviticus time. He was several thousand years out from that. You know, this is type and shadow land. But it's all fulfilled in us because Jesus said, every jot and tittle testifies of me. He said that in Luke 24. So we are in a new covenant where the sacrifice, who is the sacrifice? More specific. the slaughtered lamb, Christ crucified. He is the sacrifice in us. So that changes everything. That scripture changes everything. And if it doesn't, then we're starting on the wrong ground, and nothing's going to really resonate. I know it sounds like children's church symbol, but if that isn't established, then the approach to Leviticus becomes impersonal, and you're separate. So we are the place where the sacrifice is because Christ is in us. That's huge. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was external to them. It was just a type and shadow for him. Even if they were the priests that cut up the sacrifice all day long and tended the altar so the perpetual burnt offering never stopped ascending, the fire never went out, it was all external to them. There was nothing inside of them being touched. They were just dudes with carnal, human, bestial motives. I mean, it was just type and shadow. The sacrifice was separate from them, and it did not involve their insides. It only involved their outside duties. Can't that be the same for us right now? That our ministry and relationship with the sacrifice, with Christ, never reaches our inward parts. It's external to us. It's a teaching. It's a duty. It's a ministry, but it's never possessing our inward parts. I guess David said that. That seems so common, so simple. But for that to really get us is earth-shattering. Our earth will be shattered if that. So sacrifice was separate from them and did not involve their insides, only their outside duties. So the sacrifice was separate. Jesus Christ and him crucified, the slaughtered lamb, God in his eternal being and kind and essence was over there, even if it was at the end of a tong or a knife or a temple. It was there, and I'm here, and he's that, and I'm this, and it was separate, always. In the Gospels, the sacrifice was Jesus of Nazareth. He was the Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sin." I mean, he was the sacrifice. He was the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. I know this is simple, but he was the sacrifice, and Jesus of Nazareth was offered on Calvary. So in the Gospels, we have a sacrifice in human form, but it's only in one man. Only one man has that nature inside of him, okay? And it's Jesus of Nazareth. And because of who he is on the inside, because of his nature, he's going to be led to the slaughter, and he's going to die on a cross as an offering. It's simple, but it's profound. So now, after Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb, was slaughtered and offered up, after his death and his resurrection, he becomes, in union with those who are in him, a new man with many members. And that's all of us who are born again. We are the body of the body of the sacrifice. And the sacrifice himself is in us. In the new covenant, we are one with the sacrifice, and he is in us. So we are not priests that have to get up every morning from our tent around the tabernacle in the wilderness or our house near the temple in Jerusalem and then go in there and do things on an altar with slaughtered beasts and offer them up to God and then go home and wash our hands and go to bed in our house. Now we are the temple. We are the tabernacle. Right here, this is it. This is it. Remember when Jesus said to his disciples, this is not the temple. 3 days, and I'm going to take that down and raise it up anew. And he knew his body was bearing that life and that we would be the body that would bear that eternal spirit. And so that's crazy. Crazy when the Holy Spirit begins to show us that we are the temple of the Lord and the sacrifice is in us. Our heart is the altar upon which the sacrifice is offered. So now we got ourselves as New Testament priests. We are the temple and the sacrifice is in us and our heart is his altar. That changes the whole flow of the book of Leviticus because now everything is deeply personal because you are one with the sacrifice and he is in you. The slain lamb is in you. So that's a really, really big thing. If we approach the book of Leviticus as Old Testament priests and people who are separate from the sacrifice, we'll gain nothing. It's just boring. If we observe all these things from a distance as someone who is in a science class doing the dissection of an animal, how many people have ever done that in science where you get a frog or something and you got to take your little knife and cut around all of its organs and put them on, remember that? You put them on the thing and then show where the liver is and the kidney is. I actually never really did that. I was very poorly. I needed new birth for the regeneration of body, soul, and spirit. Anyway, but I watched the other students do it. I watched my lab partner do it. And yeah, you know, so science class, you know, we can approach this book of Leviticus like we're in science class. We got our lab partner, the Holy Spirit, and our manual, the Bible, and we're just going to Jesus and dissecting him from a distance, like an experiment, you know. That isn't it. That's not it. That approach is wrong. It's not the approach of oneness, wherein we are now made one with the sacrifice. So we'll miss the point that they're speaking to us and who is in us, these scriptures. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is a scripture in the New Testament that deals with Old Testament realities. And most people, now this is my opinion, you have to ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord, search the scriptures. This is all yours to, with your hands, handle and own and claim. But my thought that I felt came from the Spirit was that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is about the slaughtered lamb in our lives. So it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, because he's rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's read that again. Study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that you don't want to be ashamed because you rightly divided the word of truth. So first thought that maybe a question we could ask her, what does approved unto God mean? If I stood before God and I wanted to be approved in his sight, in his heart, in his judgment, based on rightly dividing the word of God, the word of truth, what would that mean? What would bring the Father's approval? What would bring the Father's approval? What would it mean to be ashamed in God's presence? What would bring shame in the presence of God? Would it have to do with not understanding a teaching properly or a doctrine correctly? Would that cause shame in the eyes of God? Or would it have to do with having the right nature at the end of the age when you stand before him? As one who allowed the word of God to do its work in you, to divide out our flesh and bring forth the spirit of the sacrifice. So these are questions. I don't claim to know the answers. I think these are worth asking the Lord. What would bring disapproval from the heart of the Father? What would bring that? That would be so disapproving it would cause me to be ashamed in his presence. To me, it would be that I wouldn't have his son formed in me. It would be me still. And how does that have to do with rightly dividing the word of truth? Dividing, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe that has to do with the sacrifice in us. So Leviticus 1, verse 6, we're going to go there now. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. Now, if I'm correct, I've been trying to read all the commentaries I can on this. Mallory may be able to help me here. But I believe when it says, and he shall flay the burnt offering, the he that they're referring to is not the priest yet. It is still the believer. It is still the layperson, if you will. The person who brought the offering to the priest in the Old Testament is the one who slaughtered the animal and is also the one who divided the parts. Now, Yeah, it seems to be what most scholars, you know, accept. At times, the priest did it. There's accounts where that happened, but mostly it just says he, and it never changes to the priest until the blood is sprinkled and poured. So you all have to do your research, but from what we've seen, it seems like we're the ones who kill the sacrifice, and we're the ones who divide out the pieces. Now, that may not hit you deep enough until you really consider that I said, okay, so we have a tent in the backyard, and we've got a little bunch of sheep over here. And so everyone after class gets to grab a little lamb, right? And a male that's spotless without blemish. 3 years old would be good. No, that's Genesis 15. And then you're going to go to the priest behind that, and you're going to kill that little lamb. You're going to lay your hands on it. You're going to kill it and all the things. And you're going to divide it out in its pieces once you've slaughtered it. And then the priest is going to deal with the blood. And so how would that make you feel? I mean, what kind of a lesson would that be? All right, so let's just say mom goes, your room isn't clean. I want to make an impression on you that's going to last a long time because you have issues with cleaning. Mom, maybe this was the answer for me. We never did find the right answer, did we? But you know what I'm saying? There's issues, and I need this to resonate. I need it to be marked on your soul for life. So she finds some way to just really get the point home. Well, God has things as our Father that he really wants to drive the point home really deep. And so having us slaughter the lamb and then divide out its inward parts in order on the wood is a really strong object lesson. Like, that's a strong lab. And once you're in there dividing out the liver from the spleen, from the, what kind of thoughts are going through your mind? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you when you're doing that? What's he saying? Why am I doing this? Are you making me a scientist? Am I going to be a butcher? Is this, what are you looking for here? Why? Can't the priest do this? Shouldn't the priest do this? Why am I doing this? What does this have to do with me? If this is all just ceremonial God stuff that just is, you know, the Spirit of the Lord's doing it and it's just eternal, ethereal, spiritual things, why am I involved? Let the priest do it. Let the Spirit do it. Let God handle that part. He's the sacrifice. Why can't he just, he knows his inward part. Why do I have to be involved? That's a pretty good question. Why? Why am I doing this? What does that mean for a born-again believer right now? What was that the type and shadow of in us, the temple, in us, for us, as that which bears the sacrifice and are the priests and offerers of the sacrifice? What does that mean in my story today? That's what we're going to look at tonight. So we must divide out the parts. We must be able to divide out the parts of the sacrifice in us. To divide out what is the lamb in his motives and intents of sacrifice in us. Have you ever heard Randy say, you know, motives are big. Do you even know what your motives are? What's motivating you right now? And you just go, human nature, or I don't know, hunger? You know, I don't know. What's motivating you? Well, that's just a thought. We'll address that again, but these things are huge. Can we divide his inward parts from that which is us? Will we allow for it? This is where it gets real, real good. I mean, I heard, must have been a commentator. It was a commentator. One of the commentators said, the commentaries said, it's weird to think that the house of God was a slaughter site. So think of this. You're walking in to where God lives. This is Old Testament, right? Walking in the tabernacle. And you may be expecting that it's got these great, and it did, Solomon's in particular, the temple Solomon built, but you may be expecting like beautiful, ornate, and it was there. There was so much of that, but just like the hotel, the grand hotel with, you know, not an altar, but a nice hearth with a fireplace and, you know, exquisite furniture to recline upon and, you know, golden offering bowls with, I don't know, just, you know what I mean, like a castle for a king. And yet when you walk into God's house, back in the day, in type and shadow, you smelling blood, you're smelling beasts that are slaughtered and flesh that is being consumed by fire, and it's bloody and it's messy. You're like, what is the deal with God's house? Why is sacrifice everywhere? And if I take a closer look, I'm seeing people with knives cutting organs and dividing them and laying them. It's like it's walking into surgery. Don't you guys just love these new shows like CSI or Investigation, where they're just talking pleasantly and all of a sudden you're in surgery looking at a heart pumping in the chest and the ventricles and all the blood's gushing. You're like, thank you for that warning. Thank you for warning me that I was going to be exactly in the middle of a big surgery and see everything that, you know, makes me faint and fall over. This is wonderful. No warning. You're like at a picnic, a siren goes off and they're in surgery going, you're like, okay, this is lovely. This is what I saw. I can't believe I'm looking at this right now. But you know what I mean? That's the thing. You're walking in there and you take a closer look and they're like surgeons dividing out. What are you doing? You know, you're doing surgery over the slaughtered beast. Why? He's dead. Just get rid of the carcass. Don't divide out the inward. Why? I'm being Jewish now. Why? Why do that? Why? Why does God have us doing this? What is his fascination with sacrifice? Why can't it happen in a hospital outside the camp? Why can't it happen somewhere where it's not the main thing we walk into every day? Why is this so important? Shouldn't it be training for scholars and young ministers? Shouldn't that be walking into a classroom? Wouldn't that be proper for the ministry? Why do we have to cut up organs? You know, I think a great place to raise up a generation for the gospel would walk in and have these great chairs with these massive books with all kinds of translations and thesauruses and Bible dictionaries and commentaries and every kind of thing about the sacrifice. And you just sit there and you just learn, you learn, you learn, and then you get to progress to the holy place when you've learned it. You get to do it because you're so smart. You're so full of all this information about the sacrament. You get to do it. The best ones get the best jobs, the ones who understand the most stuff in their head. And then if you're really special, you get to go in the Holy of Holies and graduate to God. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? No, it'd be sad, but yeah, that's pretty much what we have down here. How about walking into God's house and the first thing they experience is the judgment of you, where you can't even go in until you know that you're crucified with Christ in a real way. Yeah, your own death, the cross of your own death, you get to experience. Yay! And when you get past that, you get to start dividing out the sacrifice in its inward parts. God, why is that the kind of Bible school you set up? Why are those the kind of classes that you call important? What's all this hands-on handling of the Word of Life, involvement with the sacrifice that we've handled, that we have seen, that we have that which was from the beginning, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world? What's your obsession with this slaughtered Lamb? Why? Why? And yet that's it. And we read that rightly dividing the word of truth and all that we think about is doctrine and teaching. I want to know the scriptures so well that I can divide it. Listen, if you know the sacrifice so well, watch out, Bubba, once you start getting in the word. You ain't going to even understand how the heck do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit opened the sacrifice to me and I see the scriptures for what they are. I see Christ crucified. Now you're rightly dividing, but you're still not, maybe not ashamed, because you can even do that and still not bear the image of those inward parts possessing you, formed in you, and you're still going to be ashamed before God. Man, I can divide it. I saw the slain lamb in the scripture. Yeah, but have you been divided? That's all that matters. Will you be ashamed before God at the end? Isn't it crazy? He just skims all that stuff away and gets right to the love of his life. Take me to my son. Just take me to my son. Just take me to my son. I don't care. I don't care. I want him. I want my firstborn in sacrifice. I want my lamb. I want him. I want him like this, and I want him in a people. And so all I care about. He's got a one-track mind. So we can take the ark. Let's just take a little picture here. I'm just building up to the part that I really feel is from the Lord for tonight. We need to get there piece by piece. So can we divide his inward parts from that which is in us, and will we allow for it? So we've been talking about Noah's ark for a good while. And in the ark, there's this environment where ark things are being manifested because of all the stuff going on in the ark and outside the ark. We're dividing out what's beasts and what's lamb in us. I mean, there's pressure, there's situations. And in the middle of all that, beasts are rising and reacting. But also the lamb is, the waters are beginning to move in a way to bring forth the lamb. They're dividing life from death, the pressure, the environment, the word. It's doing a work of dividing. And we're seeing what is flesh and what is lamb, what is beast and what is Christ. And that happens. If we rightly divide, then we are allowing the word to resonate and sow into the spirit of the lamb to discern what is this kind. All right. So if we're letting the script, we're letting God's environment, his living word, and all things that he's allowed in our life to work, then there should be a right dividing happening in us where we're going, that was the sacrifice, and that is a beast, man. That is a beast, man. Bite and devour. How many have ever experienced that? Well, you all have, because unless you're completely sanctified, it's who we are apart from Christ. But how many times have we not let the word divide it? Mordecai is a great example of that. Justifying, covering over, making excuses. You know, the word's there to divide. It's not coming to teach us doctrines. It's coming to divide beast from lamb in us. And we're just somewhere else. You know, I'm not saying we are. I mean, maybe we're not here, but I have been, and I still am, I'm sure. And I'm getting something else from that experience, from that release. Then, Lord, you are trying to expose the beast that is me, but you're also trying to form the lamb that is you, that is within me. And divide it out, Lord, divide it out in me. I mean, that's powerful stuff. In the relationship, in the process, if we rightly divide, then we're allowing the word to do its work and bring forth Christ and also expose and put away that flesh. But our goal is not to focus on what has already been removed through the cross. You know, that doesn't become our one. The dividing of the sacrifice isn't just about what's flesh and what's Jesus. You know what I mean? That does happen. But it's the sacrifice that we're dividing. It's the sacrifice that we're dividing. And that's a really, it's a very baby step. It's a necessary step. But it's a very first step to just go, that's the beast. And this is where Christ needs to be formed. This, you know, it's important. The word does that. But the priests who are in the temple there, they're taking the sacrifice and dividing it. Because at the burnt altar, for the sin offering back there, at the first part of the game, they already dealt with the old man in the flesh. I mean, seriously, that's another class, that's another. The important thing right now is that at the end of the day, it's the sacrifice that's being divided in us, Christ. Okay, so our goal becomes not just focusing on what has already been removed through the cross, but the sacrifice that is in us. Our involvement is with him. Our hands-on involvement, our hearts-on involvement. So the scriptures speak of us dividing or flaying the sacrifice into his pieces. It says his pieces, not its pieces, or our pieces. So, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. If it was about us, it would say into your pieces, or yours and his pieces. To me, I think it's incredibly powerful that it says his pieces, because the whole focus is him, Christ in us. So the inward parts of the sacrifice speak of the inward parts, the motives and the intents. When the inward part is opened up, we see the beauty of the Lamb within, the motive and intent of his beautiful nature, how he is motivated on the inside. This is what the Father is looking for, his Lamb in us in real ways that will motivate and fill. So how beautiful. We see Jesus. We see Jesus of Nazareth. We see the Lamb walking. We begin to behold the Lord who is our life just in beginning ways by the Spirit. But when he begins to open up the sacrifice, when the Spirit of the living God begins to open up Christ crucified and divide out his inward parts, now we're seeing his motives and his intents and his inward parts, the things, like what Randy was saying, what's the difference with Christ crucified and you and just you? Well, us doing those things isn't the sacrifice. Why? Because the inward parts are different. The motives and the intents are different. When we do Christ crucified-like things, it may look exactly the same on the skin level, okay? But once you cut that baby open and you start dissecting what was motivating it, now you're talking, is it Christ crucified or is it me? You see, that's what the Word of God does. We're going to look at that in Hebrews. It slices that baby open and shows forth what's going on the inside of the sacrifice. That's who our life is. How important is it to know the sacrifice by the inward parts? It's everything, because if we don't, we're just doing outward things that are like Jesus. Possibly, you know, instead of going, Lord, what makes it him is the nature that is motivating him on the inside of me. What is different between someone doing just the same thing that Epaphroditus did, giving and giving and giving and in sickness still giving? And, you know, there are people who've done that without Christ in them. There are. Have you ever watched a movie, a great movie about some really huge giving person and just afterwards gone, gee, and that person was a Buddhist. Well, I don't get it. Not that, you know, that person didn't love God at all. That, well, what's the deal? I thought that was Jesus. What makes, you know, and only God knows the nature motivating a human being. So we can't judge that. But I'm talking in principle here, not about anything beyond that. Just in principle. And you go, or you just know someone who does all this stuff, but you know they're not, they don't have, you could just tell. But you get confused. Or you go to Bible school and you really want to make a fair show in the flesh. You want to look spiritual. You want to appear a certain way that looks like Jesus in the eyes of man. So you learn the lingo and you do the deeds and you act the act and you walk the walk and you talk the talk. But you've never divided out the sacrifice in you. So you have no idea who it is. You could spend your whole life just being the parrot puppet, parroting Christ crucified, because you never went to the slaughter site. And in this power of the living God opened up the sacrifice and began to divide it out. What's going on the inside? Is it me or is it Christ crucified in me? It's huge. It's glorious. It's wonderful. But it has to happen. Those inward parts are the whole thing. The motive and the intent. We're born in sin. We're born with an old nature. And that nature will not die in the way Jesus did. It is motivated by self. And you can take the most benevolent act, and if you, Mallory and I love this book by Charles Finney that Randy asked, you take it down to the uttermost fiber of DNA in motive and intent, and you will find selfish motive there. It may be pristine on several passing, several tests on the way down. But with your little knife for the Spirit of God, of course, you will find a vein of self is feeding that fountain. It is there. It's always there unless it's Christ. A lamb without blemish, no blemish. He's pure. His motives are 100% selfless. That is Jesus, the sacrifice in us. It's only Him. It's only Him. We could get 99.9% of it, and it's still not Him. How do you change it from me to you? This is why Leviticus is there. This is our heritage. This is ours as the body of the sacrifice. And the Spirit's there alongside us, priesting, helping. The Word, the living Word, is our tool. We must divide out the parts. We must be able to divide out the parts. Okay, let's go to the next page. It's getting to the better stuff here. Okay, now this is the part that I felt was almost sacred. I was like, Lord, do I want to share this? Because I need this. But this is precious right here. So if you're falling asleep, shake it off. You cannot properly divide out the pieces. Oh, this is okay. I'm not speaking to you. This is the way the Lord spoke it to me. We cannot properly divide out the pieces. Someone could not properly divide out the pieces because your affections are not set in order. The sacrifice has to be set in order. It's not just divided out. It's set in order. That's the scriptures. We cannot properly divide out the pieces of the sacrifice in us because our affections are not set in order. Love is not first. Love for the lamb is not first. Lamb's wife. Colossians 3:3 says, set your affections on things above. Set your affections in order. Set them first on things above, where you are dead and Christ is your life. Set them in order. If your affections are not set in order on things above, which is the slain lamb enthroned, they will fall down to the earth and will become motivated by pride and self and gain rather than oneness with the land. And let me tell you, if you're sitting there struggling, you're struggling to, Lord, I want it to be Christ in me. I want to be I want His motives and His intents and His Spirit to be enthroned in me, to motive, to move me, to be my being, to be my breath. I want the Lamb to live in me as a sacrifice. I want to bear Him in my body, the dying of the Lord, this slain Lamb. If your affections are set on things in the earth, where your self-life is, where you're, and not on Him, you can't divide them out. It doesn't work. It's almost like you can't find Him. I don't know how to put it. It's like you can't find Him. There are so many motivations and affections and intentions and desires that are like animals in the ark hurling themselves at you. And you can't even find Him in the middle of it, much less set Him in order. I don't know if that makes sense. But this is a holy thing. This is a holy communion with the Lord, this dividing out. This is intimacy. This is sacred. Nobody just marches in there and starts doing this. You've got to love that Lamb. He's not going to open His inward parts to you. If you haven't set your affections on Him in this way, He isn't going to do it. The Spirit of God ain't going to allow it. Uh-uh. You think He's going to open up Jesus in His most tender and intimate parts and just start letting you cut in there and dig in there and seek in there? And you better forget it. And your affections are all swallowed up of pride and envy and competition and self and earth. And oh, but come up here, I'll just crack that baby open and let you just dig on in to Jesus. And we are speaking of the one in us, but no. That comes, that holy communion, that intimate knowing, even unto dividing in order of how He flows in His innermost being in us, that happens when there's love involved. Love for the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love Him. This fulfills the law. This is the law. Love Him. And it will start, oh, Set the head in order. Set the head in order. The head in order. It says that, and we'll look at that soon. But I don't want to leave this point where it says things are out of order in you because you've left your first love. These Ephesians in Revelation chapter 2, the Ephesus church that John wrote to, they had amazing knowledge of Bible school. They corrected people who were off. But things were not in order in that church. How so? They were in order. They understood where things should go. They understood the flow and the this and the that. And they could even just see things that were off and correct them. How can they be off? They were out of order because the first love was gone. They'd fallen from love. And we're not talking a mushy kind of affectionate emotion, right? We're talking that love the Lord thy God with all, the one that you are. You are the one, Jesus, and you're a lamb. What happens when you're in a prison camp and you're being beaten by someone who shouldn't beat you and you're starving and you've got no strength? Turn around and beat your sister or your mother. And you sit there, or these scriptures that were read tonight about stuff. Stuff that we cannot handle, that we will just kill someone in our heart. Our mind will be riddled with absolute hatred and revenge and terror, and knowledge of good and evil will just like swim in it all night long because of the injustice. How are you going to bring forth what is the sacrifice in his due season right there? There's the altar. If your affections are not just so set on him that he can start dividing out his motives in you and pouring forth his spirit out of you, it ain't going to happen. You're going to swim in anger and confusion and regret and, oh, your inward parts are going to swim with that. How many have ever experienced that? You know, you start trying to divide out the inward parts when your affections are all absorbed in the issue in the earth. It ain't going to happen. You've got to cut off the flesh. You've got to start taking the sword and trying to divide out the sacrifice. You've got to divide out the flesh and hew Agag to pieces, get with Joshua and circumcise that heart and get rid of that beast so that you can start dividing out the sacrifice in. You see what I'm saying? So when we start talking this, we're entering into holy fellowship here in oneness. So the sword is our friend. And you may be right there, and Joshua's standing up in you with his knives sharpened and ready, and he's cutting away all that flesh that's rising, and he's just dealing it, right? But then at the same time, that bride heart, that priest heart rises up, and you start dividing out the sacrifice in a new way. Wow! No, what's going on right there? Nothing in ministry is going on right there. Nothing in intellectual learning or spiritual gain. Everything involved with oneness with the sacrifice is going on. You're taking his death and making it your own. This is the cross of my own crucifixion. Apply it like a sword. Cut. Swing, Levi. Swing. Take it down, Joshua. Circumcise it. Break it off. Baptize it, and you're on it. And then you turn over here, and you're just like, and now I just take this knife, and I just divide out the motives and intents of the lamb in me, and I begin to let them rise. I begin to let them flow forth, and I'm going to order them in me. The ordering is huge. What's preeminent right now? Getting back at them, looking good in their eyes, proving my innocence, not bearing shame, justifying myself, explaining my point, making things right, getting revenge. Okay, if you set your affections on the lamb getting one after his kind, and being the vessel of that spirit in this earth, all of a sudden you're starting to set the head in order and his members in order. And all of a sudden things start popping on the inside. The spirit of the Lord starts dividing his motives and intents in you. And all of a sudden you start going, man, Christ in you is the hope of glory. I feel a motive that I know didn't come from me. I feel an intention that I would never have. That's Christ in you. That's powerful. That's when you know. Paul said at the end of 2 Corinthians, and Jeremiah said it too, Jeremiah used the term reprobate silver to a people that had forsaken their God. And at the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul said it too, and he said, examine yourselves if Christ be in ye. Examine yourselves. They'd been examining him for the whole chapter. 2 Corinthians? It's 2 Corinthians, yeah. Yeah, 2 Corinthians, that whole letter is the people of Corinth were examining him. They were cutting him in pieces. Your motives, your intent, Paul, blah, blah, blah. So he has to open up the sacrifice. Paul has to open up the sacrifice. And he said, you know, I got to open up the sacrifice and show you what my motives and intents are. And I don't want to do this. This is declaring myself. But he had to. What he was trying to show them is Christ is in me. It's not just me. But then at the end, and I might be wrong. I think it's at the end of 2 Corinthians. I could be wrong. But he goes, examine yourselves if Christ be in you. And what he's saying is, you've been examining me this whole time because you think I'm a false apostle. So I broke myself open and showed you the inward parts of the sacrifice that are motivating is truly Christ. I don't want to declare that, but I'm really not declaring myself. I'm declaring another life that's in me. But then he goes, but you should be examining yourselves. You know what I mean? He's saying, you're so quick to examine one another because he told them that, comparing themselves to one another. And you're so quick to examine me. How quick are you to examine you to see if the sacrifice be in you and if he's motivating you? Not just if he's in you. See, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're in chapter 1 of Leviticus. It's just one. And at this point, he's talking about dividing. You know, so God is hot in pursuit for his son in us. So by chapter 1, he's already saying, divide this baby out in you. He's not leaving it on the level of little children, I travail in birth at Christ to be formed in you. He's going, if you've got the sacrifice in there, let's get on with it. Let's go. We're in chapter 1, verse 6 and 12, and he's already saying, let's get it beyond just some nebulous Christ, some unformed idea of Christ in me. Christ in me, he's unformed. I have no idea what that means. I know he's a lamb, whatever, learning things. He's like, let's form him. Let's divide him. Let's know him as our motive and intent. Let's find him as life. He's hot on that from the beginning of the book. Isn't that awesome? I love him. I love him. I love the way. I thank you for being my Father God, our Father God. So let's look at Colossians 1, 17, 18, and 19. This is looking at Leviticus 1 and 12 with these scriptures in mind. But while you're turning there or just contemplating that, I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 1, verse 12. And you shall cut the sacrifice into his pieces with his head and his fat. And the priest will lay the inward parts in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Oh, man. So he's saying, cut him in his pieces with his head and his fat. And he's having them order the members in pieces, but he's putting the head in order too. He specifies the head. And he specified the members in verse 6. So Colossians 1, verse 17 through 19 says, and he is before all things. By him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. So we start setting our affections on him above everything that's going on in us and to us in the earth that would cause the sacrifice to be pushed away and flesh to rise. But then we set him in order within us. And we go, you are the head of the sacrifice. And the members of the sacrifice, which are also you, motivating my inward parts, are your fullness, whole spirit of the risen Son, the slaughtered Lamb. And you are the fullness of every motive and every intent and every inward part is possessed by your eternal spirit. And it's possessed in a certain spirit that I want to know so intimately that I can divide it out in me and let it release in sacrifice out of me. Because this is your way. Your way, oh God, is in your tabernacle, in your sanctuary, in the place where the sacrifice is offered is your way, Lord. I want to know your way deep within me, your sanctuary deep within me, the altar of my heart, having things ordered. I want things ordered in my heart. I don't want this confusing mess. I want to know the Lamb in order. I want it to be not confusing. I want it to flow in the oneness and order of his being. Have you ever gotten a situation, everything's out of order. Nothing's lined up. I'm confused. Why did this person do this? And what is this motive in me? And what is this, you know, this crocodile swimming past me? And then where's the lamb? And how, what would the lamb do? And in what way would the lamb do it? And how would, it's all out of order. That's okay. That's part of the, but he's saying, but we're going to get to the place where this thing's in order in us. And it's flowing from the head. That's the head of the sacrifice and the members of him in us. And it's going to be divided and ordered and laid on the wood. And everything's in order. Nothing's out of order with the life of Christ in us. Nothing's disorderly in his way. He flows in oneness and perfect fluidity and perfect symmetry. It's, those aren't even words because it's all him. He is one kind, and that kind is lamb. And it flows forth in a flow that is of one in us. One nature, one way, and it's ordered by essence of its being. It's ordered in its way because it is a certain kind. There's no shadow of turning or difference within him. And yet he flows in the order of his being out of us. Where am I at, Lord, in my spiritual maturity? Where am I at, Lord? I know so much. I do so much. He never looks at the outward. Look at the Ephesian church. Is my life in order? Is my house in order? People say before they... He goes, well, how's the flow of the sacrifice in there? Is he divided and ordered and offered and flowing? Is it perpetual? Is it constant? Is it of one always? What's coming out of you? And what's motivating deep within? Do you know? Have you examined? Have you divided? Has the Word of God done its work? Or is it just abstract teaching, instruction in ministry? Or has it rightly divided the sacrifice in you so Christ is formed? So when you see God at the end, you're not ashamed because it was his Son, the Word of truth, rightly divided the sacrifice. And Christ, the sacrifice, was formed. Isn't it beautiful? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, we might think, well, it's not beautiful in me right now. I feel like Noah's Ark with a multiplicity of beasts. And I feel that way. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of everything he's sharing with me. And I'm not ashamed of it because I love him. I want him. It's a wonderful process when you're with him in it. Nellie.
This is something that I'm doing a backup class right now, you know, and this is something Randy shared in what I was looking at today. In Habakkuk, it says, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed, thou wentest the head out of the house of the wicked. And that's two heads. There's the head of the house of the wicked, but the anointed is also the head. Christ is the only one who's anointed and the only one God accepts. He's the head. He's the head. He's the anointed one. Instead of me personally being anointed for ministry, instead of me personally being anointed to know or to get it right, he only anointed the head. And I just feel like it goes with what that head is going to be in order with the anointed head. I mean, he's striking me with it too, but this is just another witness to what you're saying. Support what you're saying is that Randy shared is not original.
No, it's the word of, it's the rightly divided word of truth. Yeah. It's hope, isn't it? It is hope because he's in us. He is in us. It's just he gets ignored or crowded out or I don't know. I don't know what and why. But I just think that... Let's see. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what I felt the Lord shared with me in this verse in line with this Leviticus class, the Heart of God scriptures, is that you have three things here. You have soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and thought and intent. All of it's very inward, isn't it? It's all stuff going on inside of us. And he said, with the soul and the spirit, the soul is kind of the vessel part. It's us, you know, our soul. But the spirit's the inner essence. It's what's inside It's what's inside Jesus. And the joint and the marrow, the joint is kind of just the part of the body that would, you know, function. It's just, I don't know if it's cartilage or what it is, but it's just a joint. But the marrow is the life inside of it. It's the inner nature. And the thought and intent, with the thought, it's just, the thought is almost the shell. It's, you know, there's thoughts. But the intent of the heart, thoughts and intents, that's the inner life of the thought. You know, so the soul and the joint and the thought, they're just kind of the husk. But the Word of God goes into those things that are in all human vessels. A soul, everybody has a soul, everybody has a body, everybody has a mind. Soul, joint, and thought. But He goes, the Word goes in there and it divides out the inner essence of that soul. What spirit is that soul filled with? What nature? It goes into that joint that's motivating us, moving us. And He goes, what's the marrow? What's the inner nature? What's filling that joint? He goes into the thought life and He goes, what's the intent of that thought? What's the intent? See, that's the Word's dividing out where the sacrifice is in us. And it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God rightly divides in this way. The Word of God is meant to do surgery on us. You know, and the Word's really, really doing its great ministry to us. It's dividing things out so the sacrifice can form and that flesh is removed. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. Lord, it's time to divide and order the inward parts of the sacrifice in me, and then divide and order the wood also, which is another thing. And I just wrote this down just a few minutes ago before class to end with. And I think it's a prayer, and it kind of is a good ending. Lord, in the middle of things, help me divide out what is motivating me, and to separate myself from what is my flesh, and to yield to the sacrifice, to order the wood, to place Him on the altar, to put Him in the place to come forth in my attitude and response. You know, that can happen in it. You can be sitting there and raising your hand to answer a question in class, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord goes, what's motivating that? I want to look good. I got a great scripture. I want to wow the class. Well, it's like, no. Be motivated not to be seen. Be motivated to just release. Yeah, you know, I don't know how to put it. That's a silly. You know, yeah, but it's not to become introspective. But it's like all of a sudden the firstborn's going, I want to come forth. And the flesh is going, and so do I. You know, I mean, I speak of myself. And it's like, and all of a sudden the dove lands on the sacrifice and goes, choose life. Walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. For ye are dead. Mortify those members down there. Set your affections. Order the sacrifice. Give Him preeminence. Let Him come forth. Let Him ascend His throne. Put Him on the wood. Divide it out, order it out, and release Him. Whew. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Beautiful. Is Leviticus not beautiful? Because we know the real name is, and He called His firstborn son out of us. And He's calling him. Can you know, I put Leviticus on the board, and I thought Jason would be upset with me for doing that, and he probably is, but he's got the Lord cleaning out his motives. So you just see Jesus in him. But we should have put, and He called. Because, and I felt you when I wrote it. And He called because He's going, I'm not teaching Levites how to do priest things. I'm calling my son out of human vessels, the firstborn son in sacrifice. And here, can't you hear Him calling in this? Divide out the sacrifice in you. Let Him come forth. Let it be ordered, formed. Isn't it beautiful? His members in order in you. Father, we thank You. We thank You for putting Your firstborn son in us, which is the slaughtered lamb who releases in sacrifice in our motives through His motives and the intents through His intents. Even our thoughts, Lord, are full of His nature. Father, that's because He's in us. It's Him. He's the preeminent one. He's the head, and the fullness of every member and every inward part is possessed by this eternal Spirit. And He is the Christ of God, the anointed of the Father, and the life that we have been given, that He might move us and pour forth all that he truly is in his being and nature and kind. And oh, God is beauty. The Lamb is who we love. The slain one, the sacrifice. And we set our hearts on things above. That's him, where he sits, where he dwells, where he reigns as head of his body and fullness, Lord. Far above our lives in this earth and our issues in this earth and ourselves, which are dead but yet in this earth. So he can be ordered in us as life in true ways, motive and intent and nature. Lord, let this be something of communion. Though that sword is sharp and it pierces and it divides, but the glorious release of feeling the baby move, the nature have expression and formity and order within us and begin to form, the removal of the crazy, the unordered, the flesh, the enemies of God invading the temple. Oh God, it's cleanse us. Move by your Spirit. Make it so real. So real. So real. In us, to us, and then through us by your Spirit, Father. And let the Word do its eternal ministry and rightly divide the sacrifice that he might truly be released through us, his body and his temple. Holy Spirit, speak your heart to each one right where we're at, each one. That's all we really need to hear. We don't need to hear beyond that. We just need to be with you where you have us. That's right where we need to be. So we just stay with you. We stay with you and we receive what you share personally. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.